everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And our guest today is a voice actor who has voiced so many iconic characters over, I want to say over the years. I mean, it has been multiple years, but man, it hasn't been like what you'd think, like 20, 30 years hearing all these icons he's voiced, but he's only been in the game about 10 years, which in itself is incredible. He's been the voice of Gizmo and Stripe in Multiverses, Starscream in the Transformers video game, Lucky the Leprechaun from Lucky Charms, Grimace from McDonald's, but probably the most iconic character he's voiced, and he's the third person ever to lend his voice to this character, is Donald Duck, and has also won an Emmy Award for his performance as Don. In 10 years, people, plus a ton more. It's incredible to me what he's accomplished in just 10 years. We welcome Emmy Award-winning actor, voice artist, and producer Daniel Ross to the show this week. And we had a great conversation, didn't we, Randy?
Oh, we did, yeah. And I cannot wait for the listeners to hear it.
Yeah, and I do apologize because, you know, our time was limited. We got less time for this interview than we typically do, which is fine. I understand how life is, but had to steamroll through, and I felt bad. I think I talked over you quite a bit, so I apologize. But
it's all good. It was still a great convo, and I got my questions in, so we're good.
Good, good. So I'm excited for everyone to hear our conversation with Daniel. But before we do, you know how it goes. Don't forget to find us on Twitter at @CannedAirPod, on Instagram at @Canned_Air, and on TikTok at @CannedAirPodcast. And if you want to show some support, head over to CannedAirPodcast.com. where there's a merch tab and a Patreon tab. I think it's pretty self-explanatory what's on both of those things. Yeah. For a little bit of your cash every month, you get something in return, whether it be a t-shirt or a mug or a hat or just extra content that the normies aren't getting. So a few different ways you can support us there. Randy, what else am I forgetting?
A huge shout out to evergreenpodcast.com, the network we are so proud to be a part of. As you're driving to your family functions this Christmas, you know, give us a listen on your podcast player of choice, and definitely leave us a like and a little bit of a review would be awesome. It helps out so much, and hopefully we'll break up the monotony a little bit for you.
Yeah, pull up one of our Christmas episodes from the past years if this year's isn't up yet, because we've got a catalog of Christmas episodes. I mean, how many times can you listen to Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer? Put that shit away. Turn on the Canned Air Podcast Christmas episodes because they're good stuff. I love them. Some of my favorite things we do. Anything else?
I think that's about it.
I do too. So let's just cut it right over to our conversation with Daniel Ross. Daniel, thank you so much for taking time to be here with us, man. It's pretty incredible to have the voice of Donald Duck with us. Thank you.
Hey, man, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the Canned Air Podcast.
Oh, we always love hearing that, especially from the man who does Donald Duck, such an icon. But, you know, it's incredible looking at your IMDb because, you know, the icons you voice, it's not limited to Donald, Gizmo, and Stripe, and Starscream, Lucky the Leprechaun, Grimace from McDonald's. It's incredible, man.
Well, thank you. It's been quite an adventure and quite a journey, and not one that I ever quite expected. Sure. And I love what I do, and it's something I just really am grateful to be a part of, especially so many characters that are, you know, considered legacy characters, characters that have been passed down from person to person or over time. That really is an honor I never saw coming. So I'm just grateful to do what I do and bring some life to these awesome characters.
Sure. Goosebumps already. But it's incredible because, you know, there's so many people who have been at this, you know, twice as long as you have, who don't even have close to the amount of icons in their IMDb that you do. So I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep gushing. It's just incredible.
Well, thank you. You know, for me, it's just about being a working actor and being able to do what I love. I've worked a lot of jobs in my past lives that, you know, really stunk. And I worked big box retail for many years. I was a waiter. You know, I did lots of crazy stuff. So I'm glad to have moved past that point and to have acting be my thing. And that's my aim. So the fact that I've kind of found my way into these particular characters still astounds me to this day. And I'm like, what's tomorrow going to bring? I'm excited to see what comes next.
Me too, man. So, go ahead, Randy.
So working retail, is that where the Donald Duck persona really developed, like dealing with all those customers?
You know, no, that was my playground because I could fake an accent, you know, and work on accents while talking to different customers. Like, you know, I was working on an Aussie accent at the time and I was talking about Dyson vacuum cleaners and like selling them to people. And, you know, so that's kind of where I would just have fun with my voices. Or prank phone calls, things of that nature, but using my powers for good these days. So, yeah, I would just have fun entertaining my peers and colleagues. There was nothing in my mind that was ever something I was going to do. It was just a people trick. Hey, I do a lot of voices. I do a lot of impressions or accents and things. Isn't that fun? And so here we are again all these years later, and we get to do it professionally, which is nice.
I would say. So what age were you when this all started? What kickstarted your interest in acting?
Oh, my goodness. Well, to answer, to put a pin in the last question, my mom taught me how to do Donald Duck when I was 3 years old. So I've known how to do Donald ever since I learned how to do my own voice. So that's how long I've been doing Donald. Didn't learn him in retail, but it was definitely a fun thing to use. And then your question was, when did I get started?
Yeah. Approximately how old were you when the acting bug bit you? And what was inspired that?
That was early on. I really wanted my family's attention, and so I had to be silly to do that. And I found myself into theater, and it was the same stuff I was doing at home. So I was like, hey, let's do this. This looks like fun. And I started in middle school with a production of The Music Man, where I played Charlie Cowell. I was the bad guy, and everybody had already, you know, gotten their growth spurts, and I was a little whippersnapper on stage, and I just had so much fun with that, and I think that's where the bug got caught. So high school through college, I studied theater, Shakespeare, did lots of productions, plays, musicals, summer dinner theaters, things of that nature, and then I moved into film and TV.
And one thing I had also heard is that before you decided to, you know, devote your time to making this a full-time career, that you were looking at politics.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So it was part and parcel to what I was doing. I'm originally from Maryland, and we have a small but really amazing film community out there. And so I and my best friend, Justin Tim Payne, and several other amazing people, we came together and we made a trilogy of independent horror comedies, starting with Ninjas versus Zombies, Ninjas versus Vampires, and Ninjas versus Monsters. And I realized how many different productions there were in the area, and we had some bureaucracy towards getting to locations or getting funding for specific things, and it was always a thorn in our side. And so I figured, well, hey, here's something that maybe I could apply some of my political interests in and see if I could do something about it. Because my thought always was, if I have a goal, how do I crush it? Like, if there's an obstacle in my way, how do I outmaneuver that? How do I get around that? And so that was where my brain was thinking. And then it just occurred to me, you know, I've always wanted to try Los Angeles. Now or never, let's give it a shot. Let's give this a try. There were many people in my life who encouraged me to give voice acting specifically a try, but I had to relocate to do it. I had to be really serious about it and start meeting people and getting involved and making eye contact with the producers and writers and animators and brilliant people that are out here. So that was my pivot. It was either the politics to continue making films in the DC area, or come out to LA and try it, see what would happen. 5 years tops.
Right. Sure. And you made the right decision there.
It's been almost 10 years. So I think it's okay. I think it's an okay decision.
I would say so. And, you know, COVID changed a lot of things with, you know, having to be in the studio to record voices. You know, after COVID, a lot of voice actors built home studios so they could still keep working. Do you have anything like that?
Of course, yeah. I had to adapt just like everybody else did. And, you know, most voice actors were already like 50 to 60% of the way there because we audition from home all the time. So you have to have some kind of apparatus or setup to be able to do your auditions, to be able to book work. But once the pandemic hit, we couldn't go into studios anymore. On-camera work stopped. Stand-up comedy stopped. Yeah. There were a lot of people flooding into voiceover, and everybody was making themselves a studio because it was a corner of the entertainment industry that was relatively unbothered in that realm. So, you know, yeah, I just had to update some equipment, some software, tweak a few things here or there, and I was able to record from home, and I did quite a few things from my office right here, Disney to McDonald's to a whole bunch of other things.
What an incredible industry. You can do all that stuff from the comfort of home. That's amazing, man.
It was very resilient in the face of all that tragedy time.
I got to say, I am digging your office, too. For the listeners, it's just Transformers all over the place in the background.
Yeah, I have a problem.
Hey, it's a good problem to have, and you're in good company, sir. Yeah.
I have a problem. It's great. I love Transformers. They've been a part of who I am ever since I was a kid. And to be quite frank, the very first movie I ever saw in movie theaters was the Transformers, the movie. And so, I've been hooked. Man. And I do give them some credit towards pushing me into the entertainment industry. So I like to surround myself with the things that I enjoy.
And voicing Starscream, Hound, and Mixmaster in the Transformers games. That was one of your first big VO roles, correct?
Yes, human. It was the first. And one of my favorites, of course. My quest for Transformers, that was the first big thing I had ever done. I was so green behind the ears, had no idea what I was doing. I had just been practicing and cutting my teeth on fan dubs and, again, doing silly voices for friends and family. So I campaigned for this. I really wanted a chance to be in the movies, the 2007 movie. And so I campaigned and I created a comic book that featured me in a story with the other Transformers, sent it to Steven Spielberg and Michael Bay, and they got it. And I got an audition. And it didn't work out for the movie, but the video games, they're like, we would love for you to play Starscream. And I'm like, one of my favorite characters of all time? Are you serious? So it was an amazing vector of my hobby and my craft and my passion just coming together in something that really was, I guess you could say, the birth of my career as a voice actor.
That had to be some comic book, man.
It was cool. It was really cool. I had some amazing artists, other Transformer fans. My mother, who was an amazing artist, helped me to lay these pages out and create a story. And it's fun and it's campy and it got attention. And that really was the whole point.
Yeah,
because here, I'm a guy living in Maryland. I don't have a fancy agent or anything, but I want their attention somehow. And so that seemed to work.
Quite the original story. That's the first time I've heard anything close to that come through the show. I love it.
Thanks, man.
Now, when it comes to Donald Duck, you had already mentioned doing this voice since age 3, along with your mother, doing it through your growing up, had it down. And about a year ago, I got the opportunity to speak with Bob Bergen, the voice of Porky Pig. And, same kind of situation with him. He was saying, from a very young age, he knew I want to do this voice. Worked on it his whole growing up. And then when it came time to actually land that role, he thought, I've got this down. I got it in the bag, but realized getting in there was still a lot he had to learn. Little nuances maybe he hadn't heard before. Now, when it comes to Donald, what was it like? Was there still a lot of learning to do, or did you take to it like a duck to water, pun intended, I guess.
Well played, sir. Well played. No, there was a huge learning curve. And, it's one thing to do an impression, to make your friends laugh, to make family laugh. It's one thing to do that. It's another thing to get in front of a microphone and do the same thing, because all of a sudden you hear all the inequities or the things that you're doing, incorrectly or things you need to adjust. And so I just had never done that before. It had never occurred to me to get in front of a microphone and practice that particular voice, because you know, those roles were taken. I had no ability to do that. So
right.
Anyways, yeah. So hearing it, I made adjustments. There were mechanical issues that I was having with, you know, like muscle memory, things like that, things that I needed to really develop over time, just like lifting weights. When you go to the gym, you know, to get, you know, swole muscles and stuff,
right.
You got to do the same with the muscles in your voice and with buccal speech, which is the technical term for Donald Duck talk. It does require a little bit of expertise on the mechanism. So I was woefully unprepared and I had to build that up over time, but I got the audition through, got a call back, and the rest was history.
I can't imagine the giddiness. I mean, not only Starscream, but holy shit, Donald Duck, my God. I mean, you'd have to know in that moment, you know, this is it. I've made it. I mean, not only that, but then you won an Emmy for your performance. How incredible, man.
Yeah, that still has not settled in a year later. It's a huge moment of pride for me, again, to be able to honor my mom and the journey of that character through us to the masses, to have something that people appreciate in that capacity. I mean, to have the opportunity to honor her that way really was a dream come true for me. And so the entire journey, the character himself, what he means to me, what he means to others, it's always coursing through me, and I love it, and I love him, and I'm grateful to have been a part of that journey again for as long as I was able to.
Right. Now, here's another one. Lucky the Leprechaun. Holy hell, man. Let me tell you, I am such a fan. Randy can back me up on this. I'm such a fan of like the fast food and cereal mascots. I've got a whole shelf over here dedicated to McDonald's and cereal mascots. Big fan. But, you know, they were, you know, growing up in the 80s and into the 90s, you know, before the internet, before YouTube, before streaming, when these characters disappeared, you know, your cartoon characters, you know, Transformers or Thundercats or whatever, they were gone. Unless, you know, unless you found like a tape at Blockbuster that had like two episodes on it, they were gone. But these characters, your Lucky the Leprechaun, the Trix Rabbit, etc., always there. So, I mean, did you have that same kind of love for these characters growing up?
Oh my gosh, yes. Let's be clear. The iconography of like the 80s, and the 70s and 80s, I should say. I mean, even before then, I mean, a lot of these characters are from many, many eons ago. But from what we remember growing up, the iconography to me of like the 80s and 90s and the commercialism surrounding it was potent. Yeah. It was potent. I mean, I still collect Transformers and I am in my 40s. You know, so that is a testament to the power of the marketing at that specific time and the colors and the iconography. You know, it's like wrestling for me, you know, back in the WWF days, the iconography of all those wrestlers. And then you've got these cereal mascots who are colorful and, you know, full of personality. And then these cartoons with all the same thing. I want to buy it all. So, yeah, the cereal characters, I didn't get those in my household. My father was a doctor and he did not like how much sugar was in that content. And so I didn't get it unless I would go to visit my grandparents, and then I would get it, and I would have such a sugar high. Oh my God. I would pick out all the marshmallows from the Lucky Charms, and I'd mush them into a ball, and I'd eat that ball of marshmallows.
Oh, man.
And then afterwards, it looked like I murdered a unicorn because of all the colors on my hands. Great. It's amazing.
There was
John, how about the Lucky Charms, are you? They're magically delicious.
Again, goosebumps, man. Yeah, there was a year on for Christmas here. I got for the guys a bag of nothing but Lucky Charms marshmallows, and then I felt bad. I was like, man, I hope I didn't just give that person diabetes. But at the same time, you know, what an awesome gift! I'd be stoked to get it.
I would be very happy to have one of those. I would like a pillow-sized amount so I could sleep with that on my bed. And then I could just have dreams of me eating marshmallows and it wouldn't be weird.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
And then in June 7th of this year, you announced on TikTok the new voice of Grimace. Holy hell.
Ah, yes.
which is incredible. I just told you a second ago, I've always been a huge, huge fan of McDonald's, and I love the McDonald's Land characters. And over the years of doing this show, I've tried so hard to get people from McDonald's on, and it seems to be a rather difficult task to get done. I've reached out to other people who have portrayed Ronald, but never heard anything back. And one thing I came to learn later, at least with Ronald, is that if you're the actor who portrays Ronald, you cannot go out saying that you're Ronald, because Ronald is or slash was his own person. You ever heard anything like that?
Not from McDonald's, but I've heard that from, you know, other companies that have characters of longevity. The Disney characters are no exception. They did not have a big focus on the voice actors because they wanted those characters to be those characters. Mm-hmm. So now in the age of, you know, technology and social media, if somebody wants to know who a voice actor is, they're going to find them out. Right. So, you know, there's some exception there, but I've never heard that for the McDonald's characters though, like Ronald specifically.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I mean, I could be wrong. You know how you read stuff online and it turns out to be bullshit, but that's just what I'd heard.
It makes sense to me. That sounds like absolutely something that could happen and probably did.
So Grimace then, I imagine being the same kind of thing as Lucky the Leprechaun, something that you had seen, you know, your whole growing up, something that your father probably said you're not allowed to have.
I love Grimace. Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely one of my favorite McDonald Land characters. June 7th was not the first time I had booked Grimace. I did a Super Bowl commercial last year. And there was this big campaign where everybody gets in front of the menu and they go, can I get a, and then Grimace is there going, and he's got two sandwiches saying, pick me, no, pick me. Okay, that was me. And I did Grimace and I did the two sandwiches and I was super excited because it's the Super Bowl.
Sure.
And I'm watching it and I tell my whole family to watch it and it's not me. It's not me going, it's somebody else. I can hear it. And I'm like, that's not me. The sandwiches are still me, but that's not me. What happened? All over the news, Ryan Reynolds voices Grimace from McDonald's. And I'm like, what?
Oh.
Mr. Reynolds, don't you have enough, sir?
This was mine.
At least hook me up with some of that fabulous gin that you sell everywhere, you know. So that was the first time, and I was very disappointed because I was very excited to voice Grimace. And then a year later, they contacted my agency and said, "Hey, we've got more work for Daniel." And I'm like, "Yes,
awesome!" So are you still going to go see Deadpool then, or do you hold a little bit of resentment?
Oh, no grudges, no grudges. It's in the past.
Unless you do it again.
Unless it does it again, then we got a problem.
And I love how you jumped on the trend of the Grimace shake when that came out on TikTok, man. That was awesome.
I talk about left field. Like, right. What? I was obviously just thrilled and excited to be doing a national campaign, a commercial, McDonald's, Grimace. I was just pleased as a pickle to be there. And then the shake thing started happening on TikTok and Instagram, and it blew up so big. It blew up so big into its own thing. And it really was just the zeitgeist hitting at a specific moment. But all of Gen Z collectively said, we want the evil Grimace back. And by the way, he's an eldritch god, and we must sacrifice ourselves with these purple shakes. It was crazy. And some of them were really creative. Some of them were not so savory, but it was this weird thing that happened. And again, I was just happy to be a tiny part of it, to play along, so to speak, you know, on TikTok and interact with everybody who was enjoying the trend, make a couple of videos of my own, to be a good steward in that moment for McDonald's, you know, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I will never forget that.
It's at a trend that no one could have ever predicted, but it was so freaking entertaining. Like, you just never knew what anyone was going to do. Like you said, some of them were just over the top creative. So I would search them out. I loved them.
I would be very surprised if McDonald's doesn't try to follow up, you know, and make it. It wasn't in the UK. It wasn't in Canada. Wasn't in Australia. You know, all of our English speaking friends out there with McDonald's, they didn't have this promotion. It was just here in the States. So I think it'd be cool if they could roll it out wider and do it again and hire me.
Yeah, just every year on Grimace's birthday, because, you know, after it started becoming a trend, I was like, man, I've got to try this shake. Went to McDonald's, could not get my hands on one to save my life. They were just gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it initially spoke to the nostalgia of the character, because it was speaking to people, you know, our age who grew up with that character and loved it before all those characters kind of disappeared for a long period of time. You know, those were integral to our childhoods. And so we missed that, and they brought it back. And all of us collectively of a certain age group were just like, yes, awesome, nostalgia. I'll buy the purple thing. Sure. But then it turned into something else. I think the younger generation looked at us going, oh, this is amazing. And they said, let's mess with it and see what happens. Mess with their joy. That was great.
One of the many reasons to love the internet. There's a lot of reasons to dislike the internet, but right there makes me glad for the internet.
Yes, it has moments.
So when it comes to stepping in and voicing iconic characters, whether it be Grimace or Lucky or Donald, Starscream, the list goes on. You know, I'm curious how it's approached. I would imagine it being very difficult to balance, one, paying tribute and honoring what has come before, the work people have done before you, while, you know, injecting your own personality into that voice and character. Or would I be wrong? I mean, was it an easy thing for you to do, to step into these characters?
Great question. Thank you for that one. It's part of the process that I've really had the most satisfaction with, is going back and just diving into as much source material as I can with the character to understand the isms. What are the things that the character does when, you know, confronting a certain situation? Or what are the sounds? What are the vocals? How do they respond? How do they react? That's really what I'm diving into. And with characters like Lucky the Leprechaun, I mean, he's been around for, I think, almost 60 years.
Yeah.
Donald Duck has been around coming up on 90 years this coming June. So, you know, these characters, Grimace, I think, is now in his 50s. Like, they've been around for a while. Yeah, they've been around for quite some time. And so it gives me enough room, wiggle room, to be able to go back and figure some things out and then just start playing with it and see what happens. Ultimately, yes, you do imbue a bit of your own life into that character. I don't want to necessarily say personality, because the life is given by the performer behind the character. And it's like passing the torch from one person to the next. Tag, you're it. Like, you got to keep it going, keep the energy going. And so I get a lot of satisfaction out of disappearing into those roles and giving the people who are listening what they came to hear. Not me, the character that they love. So I want to get it right. And that's a lot of responsibility on my shoulders. And so I want to, and I endeavor to.
And you do. You have an Emmy Award to prove it.
Thank you.
With TikTok and with a lot of the con circuit and stuff like that, I see you performing a lot with other actors like Bill Farmer, who does Goofy, you know, stuff like that. What's that experience been like for you, doing like the con circuit and some of this like social media interaction?
Oh, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. I get to play with some of my childhood heroes and meet new friends and interact with people who, you know, have a favorable opinion of the work that I've done over the years. That's nice. It's really nice. It's a wonderful environment to be in. And I get to travel, and I get to, you know, get out of Los Angeles every so often to do it. So it's enjoyable all around. And again, just mixing it up with people that I would never normally have access to. you know, like the conversations you have on the side when you're in the green room, when you're in line, you know, sitting next to Walter Koenig from Star Trek, you know, for tacos. You know, when you're handing off a plate to Phil Lamar and you're like, this line, this is awesome. Those kinds of things stick with you.
And, sure.
If I have a chance to play and do like a little skit with somebody, even better, even better. Oh, I love, there's this one that I do where I intentionally mistake them for somebody else. And I just roll with it as an annoying fan. And I have so much fun doing that. I have so much fun doing it. So like Joey Fatone from NSYNC, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Justin Timberlake. Or Honky Tonk, you know, from WWE. I'm like, it's Hulk Hogan. Sam Jones, Flash Gordon. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's He-Man. I love those. I love those. Because it's just so awkward and that's it.
Well, it's awesome, though. It makes for great content. I mean, you've seemed to have beat the game that is TikTok with 1.4 million followers. That's insane.
Yeah, man. And it's been fun cultivating that over the years because, as you know, during the pandemic, we didn't have much to do. We just kind of stayed home and hoped for the best. Yeah. And so, you know, in between, you know, drinking lots of wine and baking bread, which is what everybody was doing, I took to TikTok and just said, let's have some fun because I need an outlet. Let's create some characters and let's have some fun and interact with people who are fans of like the characters that I voiced. Let me see how many smiles I can bring. And it took off and that was really gratifying. And I'm happy that that was a part of that experience because it was, again, a very lonely time and a very scary time that we all collectively went through. So I'm entirely grateful for TikTok and the people who follow me there to this day. We have fun, and I like that.
Well, we enjoy looking at it, man. I just need to figure out your secret. I need to study it.
It's Old Bay seasoning. That's my secret.
Let me write that down quick. All right.
I'm from the Chesapeake, so, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just one more quick question for you. At actordanielross.com, your website, one thing I noticed on top of, you know, not only some demo reels, some of the stuff you've done, opportunities for fans to get autographs who might not be able to make it to cons, but you also do voice acting coaching.
I do, and it's something I really enjoy doing. In all of my corporate years, I was an educator. I would teach, you know, managers and regional managers and things of that nature. I would do a lot of hiring, a lot of HR stuff. So I just really enjoyed communicating with people and educating them on the ways, you know, certain things needed to be run in the company. That's why I made a good manager. And so I really appreciated being able to do that in this field and just kind of throw the ladder down and say, come on, everybody. Like, if there's some pitfalls that I can help you avoid that I fell into, this is worth it. You know, right. Like if you have the same dream, if you have the same ambition, if you've got the same hunger, and you come across my way, then I want to give you the world. So that's really exciting to me. I like the opportunity to give back and to show people what my process is, whether it's the best or not. I mean, that's entirely subjective. I always tell people I don't want to be the only coach that you work with. You must take workshops. You must learn from as many people as possible. Because that's how you develop your own style. It's from learning from a bunch of people and incorporating that. So
right.
I'm happy to help people with that. They can book time with me through the website. And that's available.
Which we
thank you for that.
Hey, no problem. We'll definitely link it on there. I liked addressing that stuff because, you know, when people are listening to this, I imagine there's a lot of people who... It's a lot of people who have interest in voice acting, and probably some of which are looking to get into it. And it's not so cut and dry as to like, this is how you get into it. Everyone finds a different road in somehow. And to have any kind of coach or teacher along the way is more than valuable. So, you know, I'd like to help push that out there if possible.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree.
But unless Randy had anything else, man, I just want to thank you so much for the time you've given us tonight. It's quite an honor to speak with the voice of Donald and all these other iconic characters. Thank you so much for being here, Daniel.
Ah,
thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
All right. And once again, that was our conversation with voice actor Daniel Ross. Holy shit. How incredible, man. The voice of Donald, the voice of Grimace. Wow. Lucky. I mean, how lucky we are.
I had child Randy is again having a fangirl moment. So it's so cool talking to these guys and just how humble they are. And just it's awesome.
It's pretty cool doing this show, isn't it? We get to talk to some pretty freaking amazing people, and Daniel's right there on that list. We want to thank him again for taking some time to be with us tonight, and remind everybody to go to actordanielross.com, his website, and find him on social media at actordanielross. And like we were just talking about a second ago with him, his TikTok is lit. Like, it is really, really good, and he's kind of beat the game, like I was saying. I couldn't even fathom having that many followers. You just have to keep on it all the time, wouldn't you?
And it's one of those things you start watching and it's going to suck up at least an hour of your time. So be prepared.
It's good content. Watch his videos where he drinks the Grimace shake, because I enjoy those. Those never get old in my book. But once again, big thanks to Daniel. And with that, Randy, what do we have on the website, sir?
Go to candairpodcast.com, check out all our past episodes, our special guests, our Wall of Heroes, links to everything that you would need regarding the show. And if you're interested in coming on the show, send us a link on our or send us a message on our contact page.
And you can find us on Twitter at CandairPod, Instagram, Can_Air, and TikTok at CandairPodcast. We don't have nearly as many followers as Daniel, obviously. We're not the voice of icons, but maybe not yet. Maybe way down the road. Nah, that's not going to happen. But we can pretend. Just give us a sympathy follow on TikTok, people. Help us get closer to Daniel.
Or he's going to make me sing again, guys. Come on.
That isn't going to help us out, Randy. And what am I forgetting? Did I already mention the merch and our Patreon at candairpodcast.com? Two ways you can support us and get something in return. And what else, Randy?
Again, huge shout out to evergreenpodcast.com. And no matter how you're listening to us, any little review and like helps. So,
yes. And our next episode is going to be the Christmas episode. Very excited for that. Once again, have David J. Fielding set to return and hang out with us. And, you know, it's just not Christmas if David isn't here. If he ever said, you know, I don't want to do this, it would take on a whole nother feeling, because, you know, you got to have your friends with you at Christmas, right?
You know, Zordon Claus has got to make an appearance.
He definitely does, and he's definitely going to. So keep an eye out for that. Not sure exactly when that's going to drop, but you'll have it in time for Christmas. And I think after that, we're probably just going to chill until the new year. So a lot of goodness coming down the pipe. But anyway, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and be excellent to each other.
My parents are mean, so I'm running away from home.
Where you gotta go?
I don't know yet, but that'll show them.
It sure will.
Shipwreck!
Parents just don't understand, and it gets lonely on the road, so be sure to listen to the Canned Air podcast.
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
This has been a Canned Air production.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hasty, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains, we'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.